Thank you, Andrew. Our scripture is in James chapter 2, 14 through 26. I sat there and listened in John's class this morning, as at this point in the New Testament survey, the class was on John, or in the book of James, and told him I know that I had the book on my shelf, but I didn't know that chapter 1 and 2 was what he had taught last Sunday. Isn't it something how the Holy Spirit orchestrates things? And I said, you come back because we're going to be taking a look again at some of the very things that John had emphasized last Sunday in his class. James 2, we will begin at verse 14 and then finish that chapter. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart and in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. If thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils or demons also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to this very important portion of Scripture. Shall we look to him in prayer? We do thank you, Father, for the privilege that's ours of being here today. We thank you for this portion of Scripture, oft times falsely misinterpreted. Lord, the Apostle James was not teaching that a person is saved by works. But what James was teaching is that when a person has genuinely been saved by grace through faith, that faith will work. And it will be evident in the way that born-again believer lives their life. And I pray that you would give us ears to hear and understanding hearts this morning. Be glorified in this time as we gather here. For those of our church family not able to be with us for one valid reason or not, we ask, Lord, you might minister to their hearts, their needs, their bodies, if it's physical things that have kept them away. But Lord, we also want to pray for those that don't have a valid reason why they're not here. They just didn't put forth the effort to come. Lord, I pray that you would stir their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would bring conviction, and they would have a purpose of heart, a change of heart, to realize that They should have gathered in fellowship with those of like precious faith. And may they put forth the effort the next time we gather. Speak to us now. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit and His ministry of opening our eyes and granting us the understanding we need to grow in faith and to become more like you. In your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Real faith works. It doesn't idly sit by, but it works, it acts. We find that in Hebrews chapter 11, we find a record, and you could take your Bibles and turn there, of faithful believers. And we find in this chapter, as we just take a quick run through it, notice the action, the works of people of faith. For instance, in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That offering didn't just happen. He did something. He prepared it and offered it to the Lord. Notice verse 7. It tells us, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he acted, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Real faith works. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out. Real faith works. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise. And we're going to come back and look at this verse in greater detail in just a few moments. Verse 10, it says, by faith he looked for a city. Verse 11, through faith also herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. How did she do that? By faith, she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed God, and God honored that faith. In verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. They responded, and they confessed they were strangers, pilgrims on the earth. They didn't just sit down and sip on their coffee or tea. Their faith prompted them to act upon what they believed God had told them. Real faith works. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested or tried, offered up Isaac. He didn't just say, well, you know, that's an interesting challenge you've given me, God, but I'm just going to stay here in my tent. No, we find that by faith, he told his son, get up, son, we're going up on the mountain and make an offering to the Lord. Real faith works. And we find, why did these all demonstrate their faith? Why did these all act accordingly, just like Abraham up on the mountain? They responded because they accounted that God was able. God was able to keep his word and do what he had promised. The list goes on here, but so does the time. In this chapter, it continues to mention Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and so on. All this is recorded not because they were just men of faith, but because their faith worked. There was undeniable evidence that these men had and women had faith in God. How do you know? Because they showed it by their actions. That's what our scripture reading was about this morning. Hey, here's a question for you. What is your faith doing in your walk with the Lord? I want us to go back especially to verse 9 and consider one action, one character, and we're picking on and looking, spending our remaining time with the man Abraham. By faith, verse 9, he, Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with, of course, these came later, Isaac, Jacob, the heirs of him with the same promise. Each of these, they never had a permanent dwelling, and you're looking at generations here. Decades and decades of years passed, and all of these, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they sojourned in tents in a land of promise. Now let's look at this first phrase here. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. Sojourned means to reside or to live somewhere as a foreigner. To reside or live somewhere as a foreigner. They were strangers in that land. But there they were. What's so special about this? The fact that he, Abraham, sojourned, and then his descendants afterward, was a testimonial of Abraham's faith in the, first of all, this morning, Word of God to him. The fact that he sojourned there was a testimony of the fact that he believed the Word of God. As we search the Scriptures and we go back, and I'm going to invite you to do that with me here in just a moment, to the book of Genesis, we discover that no less than 7 times in the book of Genesis, where's Jonathan when you need him? That's that special number to Jonathan, isn't it? He's convinced that's a heavenly number. That's a special number. No less than 7 times it's recorded that God spoke to Abraham about this land, the land that he sojourned in. Now let's look at those references. Go back with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, already, this had already taken place, something that had previously occurred. had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, where you're at right now, and from your kindred and from your father's house, here you go, unto a land that I will show thee. I want you to leave your homeland, and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. I'm also going to make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I'm going to curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Can I put this on hold for a minute, beloved? I am convinced with all my heart and soul and being that the promise that God made to Abraham concerning his descendants, if you don't know who they are the Israelites, the Jewish people. I believe this promise is still valid. It is not null and void as some would try to tell us today. What promise? God said to Abraham concerning your descendants, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. America, are you listening? I was so thankful some weeks, months ago. I don't agree with everything our president is doing. I don't agree with perhaps his morality and his ethics and other things, but I was so thankful that after several presidents had failed to recognize Jerusalem as the rightful capital of Israel, our President Trump said, we are moving our embassy back to the city of Jerusalem, the capital where it ought to be. God said, I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse you. Well, that was a freebie. I hadn't planned on that one. Won't charge you any extra for that. Let's move on. We see after God made that promise to Abraham, Abraham departed. Real faith does what? Works. Abraham just didn't sit there in Haran and say, oh, boy, isn't it great that God made me this promise, and boy, we're going to have descendants and it's going to be great. No, if you believe God and you truly believe God, it's going to be evidenced by, are you going to obey? Are you going to respond? So many people say, oh, I believe in God. I believe in the Lord. I believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, he's my Savior. But what do the works of the life show? Abraham believed God. And if Abraham, if you really believe God, you're going to have to leave. And he did. He departed, verse 4. And it tells us, just as the Lord had spoken him, and he, it tells us the end of verse 5, they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. They came into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. That's whose land that belonged to. But Abraham sojourned. That means to abide or to dwell as a foreigner in another place. Abraham was not at home. He was living in someone else's land. But God had said, this is where I want you to go. Second time, we find God saying something about the land is in verse 7, chapter 12. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give what? This land. But it belongs to the Canaanites. Not as far as God is concerned. God said, I want you to know, Abram, that this is the land that I promised you when you were back at home that I was going to give you if you would just trust me. And this is it. So he built an altar unto the Lord who had appeared unto him. Third time, and I want you to notice the progression of the revelation. First time, we see God speaking about the land. It was in the first two or three verses. Leave where you're at now, your place of birth, and I want you to go to a land that I will give you. He got there, and God said, this is it. This is it. This is the land I was referring to. Notice if you drop down to verse 15 of chapter 13, 15. Oh, and between the promise in verse, or the declaration in verse 12, this is the land. Have any of you ever had a time when your faith had wavered a little bit and your faith has been weak? Is there anybody here, your faith, you've struggled a little bit? Yeah, Abraham did too. And we find he got the looking around and there was a famine and, you know, he started worrying a little bit, you know. Why didn't God leave that out of the Bible? I'm glad he didn't. He put that in there so that we can see these heroes of the faith were men and women just like you and I. They had their moments of weakness. We call them giants of the faith. But you know, even a giant like Abraham, yep, he faltered. He went down into Egypt and got himself in trouble there and finally got himself back into the land where he should have been. And in chapter 13, we see it verse 15. Well, we need to pick it up in verse 14. This is the chapter where Abraham's son Lot, or nephew Lot, both of them were cattle farmers and their herds were so big that the land was not able to sustain them. Not enough grazing land. And they knew something must happen. And so Abram, the spiritual leader of the bunch, said to Lot, we got to separate. Why don't we go up on the mountain? Let's look things over. And you pick out which place you want to go, and you take your herds that way, and I'll go the other way. So, that's what you see there in verse 14. After the Lord had said to Abram, you see, Lot took the best looking. And maybe Abraham was feeling just a little bit, did I really do the right thing or didn't I? What he had for his cattle looked pretty bleak. But the Lord told him in verse 14, lift up your eyes and you look from where you're at to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Everything you see and to thee, what will I give it and to thy seed, what? Forever. Notice the progression. Now, first it was, you go to a land and I'll show you. Then we said, he heard, God told him, this is it. But now he's hearing, I'm not just talking about just for a few days or years here, Abraham. This is going to be your land and your descendants' lands. How long? Forever. Fourth time, in verse 17, God said, arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Abraham removed his tent, came, dwelt in the plain of Mamre. What a picture here of, can you imagine what must have been on Abraham's heart, in his mind, as God had just told him, this is going to be you and your descendants' land forever for the coming generations. Now, Abraham, take a hike. Why don't you just walk through it and see what I have given to you? That must have been such a blessing to Abraham to be able to just walk north, south, east, west and see the land, the promised land that God had given him and to his descendants. We move to chapter 15, verse 7, and we see the fifth time God spoke. Once again, there's still struggles of Abraham's faith growing weak, yet he's staying there and he's not leaving. Abraham is trying to figure out how in the world is this all going to come about, that you've said you are going to make of me a great nation and my wife is barren and we're now past the age of having children. And we see him struggling. The beginning of chapter 15, he came up with an idea. The Lord shot that down right away. But in that time of Abraham's weak faith, and like you and I, isn't it something how we think we need to help God out? That's what Abraham thought he needed to do. Well, it's obvious that Sarah can't have any children. So the beginning of chapter 15, he came up with, this must be what you mean, God. This must be how you're going to work that. This is how the promise is going to be fulfilled. God said, nah, you're not even close. But let's talk about that land again, verse 7. It tells us, well, let's notice verse 4. The word of the Lord came unto him, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels or your own body shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, tell the stars, tell me how many there are, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be, your descendants. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. There's his faith. There's his faith. He believed what God said. There's his justification. He just simply believed what God said. How does a person get saved? By grace through what? Faith. You just believe what God has said. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Just believe what God has said about you and me and our sinful hearts and how that our sin has separated us eternally from him. But God said, I want to provide the way. So he did it through his son, who bore your sins and mine in his own body on the tree, that you and I might be able to be made and given the righteousness of God in and through Christ, if you'll just believe. If you'll just believe, Jesus, thank you for doing that for me. I believe you died there on the cross for my sin, and I'm accepting your forgiveness. I want you to be my Savior and Lord. That's it. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 7, and he, God, said unto him, Abraham, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. God's just confirming once again his word. But notice, number 6, in verse 18 of chapter 15, notice there's a subtle change. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Did you see the subtle change in this progression? What did we hear in this 6th reference? Now it's a matter of fact. Now the deal is done. Because God said to him, I have given you and your seed this land from here to here. Previously, he had promised. Previously, God had said, this is the land I'm talking about. Previously, God had said, it's going to be those of your descendants forever. But we find now here in this 6th word from the Lord about this land, God says it's a done deal. It's a done deal. I've given this to you from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And I've given you, and he mentions all of these nations. Those were the nationalities that occupied that land that now God said, it's yours. I've given it to you. But these people live there, and these people live, and these people, and these people, and these people. That's all right. I've given it to you. Lastly, we find in 17:8, I will unto thee, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Once again, God emphasized the permanence of this, all of Canaan and the people who live there. And it's going to be an everlasting possession. In Hebrews 11, back to our text, as we look at that, we've been emphasizing these last few moments the truth that Abraham believed God, and it was a testimony of his faith that he had trust in the Word of God. Secondly, as we look at Hebrews 11:9, it mentions that he was dwelling in tabernacles or tents. The fact that he dwelt in tents is a testimonial that Abraham accepted the ways of God. I'll show you what I mean by that. Not only did he believe the word of God, but he accepted the ways of God. Even though he believed that God had given the land, how do we know he believed? Because he went, he left, and he dwelt there, and he walked through it, and he kept pitching his tent. Even though he believed that God had given the land, Abraham knew that a lot had to happen before his descendants could finally, permanently settle down in their own land. How do you know that? Why are you saying that? It's interesting as we look at the fact that Abraham accepted the ways of God. And as you look in Scripture, there is no record of him, A, ever trying to overthrow the inhabitants. Do you ever find Abraham ever doing that? Is there any record of him going up to those different nationalities that were mentioned and saying, "Get out of here. This is my land. God gave it to me." No record. B, no record of any conflicts or quarrels as Abraham just sojourned there and as he looked around. Abraham was patient because he knew the ways of God had to be fulfilled. And he was willing to wait. There's no record of him ever putting down any roots. No record of any permanent dwelling. No record of ever building a sturdy house anywhere. Always tents, tents. Oh, he erected some altars here and there, but always dwelt in tents. Pastor, what are you getting at that he trusted the ways of God? Go back, if you would, with me to Genesis chapter 15. Abraham was content to dwell in tents because God had revealed something to him in Genesis 15, beginning at verse 13. This was a dream that Abraham had. And he said unto Abram, verse 13, "Know of a surety that your seed, your descendants, they're going to be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they're going to serve them, and they're going to afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge." And afterward, after 400 years, shall they come out with great substance. They're going to be rich when they come out. But in the meantime, Abram, verse 15, you're going to go to your fathers in peace. Abram, you're going to die. You're not going to live those 400 years. You're going to die. You're going to be buried. You're going to live to be a good old age. But after you're dead and gone, in the fourth generation, they're going to come hither again. They're going to come out of that nation that they're going to be servants to. And they're going to come again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun came down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces, there was the carcass of an animal that had been prepared by God's direction before this vision was given to Abraham. But now it says, when the sun went down, it was dark, and here was this smoking, burning lamp going between the pieces, and passing between the carcass of an animal, one on one side, one on another. That was how a covenant was entered into. And everybody who is responsible to make sure the covenant is fulfilled must pass through the carcass of the dead animal. Now notice who's passing through. It says a smoking furnace, verse 17, a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto your seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And then here are those nationalities mentioned again. My question is, who committed themselves to a covenant here? Was it Abraham? Or was it God? Who passed through the pieces of the animal? Doesn't say that Abraham walked back and forth between there. He saw in this vision God represented in this smoking furnace and this burning lamp. God Himself made an unconditional promise to Abraham. God Himself is responsible for fulfilling it. God is going to keep His promise to Abraham with or without Abraham's participation. That's the beauty of this Abrahamic covenant that was made from God to Abraham. God simply said, I'm going to do this for you, Abraham. No ifs, ands, or buts. As far as you are concerned, I'm going to keep my word to you whether you remain faithful to me or not. Wow. He had accepted the ways of God. He was patient. He could wait. God had told him, it's going to be hundreds of years, Abraham, before the reality of all of this transpires. But real faith does what? It works. And so Abraham sojourned. He just kept, I know this is all going to be ours in several hundred years, but he moved his tent over here, over here, over here. Abraham could wait. Hebrews 11 records for us all that these individuals of faith did because of their faith. And in James chapter 2, we read it this morning for our scripture reading. You say you have faith in God, prove it. Real faith is going to work, not to gain your salvation, but as a testimony that I am saved. And here's evidence of my trust and assurance in what God has shown to me. I asked you this question a long time ago, but I close with it. What is your faith doing? Real faith will work. We haven't been told to build an ark like Noah was. We haven't been told to offer your son on an altar like Abraham was, but real faith must work because we have been told in numerous places, hold fast, hold fast. We have been told, like in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, we have been told, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. The way you live your life shows whether or not you truly belong to the Lord. Real faith works. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we close with, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses as those in Hebrews 11. And we've looked at one, Abraham. Let us, here now, here's where, if I claim to be a Christian, let us lay aside every weight and and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Real faith works. If somebody reads someday about your life, like we in Hebrews 11 had a chance to read about numerous people. If someday in the future someone reads about you, I wonder what they're going to read about that your faith has done. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the challenge of one of our heroes of the faith. Oh, Abraham was not perfect. His faith grew weak at times. Sometimes he interfered with your workings, and in all honesty, because he tried to work things out himself, he made a royal mess of things. But Lord, he's given as a testimony of one who trusted you, believed in you, and one who demonstrated by his work the faith that he had in you. May that be true of us that truly know you as our own Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.